Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is entitled Spiritual Health. Paul writes in his first letter to Timothy that bodily exercise profits little in comparison to our spiritual health. While there's nothing wrong with caring for our physical well-being, we are challenged from the Word of God to care for our spiritual well-being. In this message, I pray the Holy Spirit will examine our lives spiritually and give us an honest assessment of our spiritual health. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Today, I want to speak to you about spiritual health. And are we spiritually healthy? And I want to share this with you. There was a woman walks into a doctor's office and says to the doctor, "Doctor, what's wrong with me? When I touch my arm, ouch, it hurts. When I touch my leg, ouch, it hurts. When I touch my head, ouch, it hurts. When I touch my chest, ouch, it hurts." The doctor looks at her and says, "Your finger's broken." See, sometimes we need to go to the doctor, though, right? And we need to have an examination. We need an honest assessment, right? We don't want to go to the doctor and we're sick and him say, "Oh, everything's all right. It's cool. Don't worry about it. Come back in 6 months." Right? That's not what you want to hear from your doctor. If something's wrong, you want to hear that it's wrong. You want to receive an honest assessment from him considering your health. Amen? I mean, why else do you want to pay all that money, right? I mean, if you want to do that, just come to me. I can tell you you're okay. When we go to the doctor concerning our health, we want an honest assessment. And so in response, the doctor, he'll give us medicine or treatment, or he may prescribe this, that you need to change your behavior. Behavior modification. So as followers of Jesus, we need an honest assessment from the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need an honest assessment from the Holy Spirit concerning our spiritual health. If you are not born again, you are not spiritually healthy. In fact, the Bible says the opposite. The Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses, but we are made alive through Christ. Amen? So we are made spiritually alive when we're born again. But on the flip side of that, just because you are born again doesn't mean that you're spiritually healthy. So just because we have life doesn't mean we're healthy. I'll give you an example. Yesterday I spoke to a gentleman. He shared with me some things that was concerning his life, his health situations. He's been battling for several years. And he asked if I could pray for him. I said, "Sure, I could pray for you." And we did, but that man had life in his body, but he was not healthy. So in the same way, we can be spiritually alive, but we're not spiritually healthy. And so, listen, God wants us not only spiritually alive, but he wants us spiritually healthy. Amen? So one way we can determine our spiritual health is to give the Holy Spirit an honest assessment. We humble ourselves before him, say, "Here's my life. Here's every thought. Here's every part of my being. I just want to lay it before you here this morning, God, and give me an honest assessment." You know, if you give him that opportunity and you open your ears and maybe close your mouth, we might hear what God has to say. Isn't that amazing how that works? So let's give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to honestly assess our spiritual health, because God would rather have you healthy, not unhealthy. I'm praying the Holy Spirit will examine us, not only individually, but corporately, as a whole, as a church. Are we spiritually healthy? Am I spiritually healthy? Are we spiritually healthy? Think about this. A church can appear to have life, correct? I mean, there's tons of churches. Man, there's something, man, it looks like something's going on there. There's some life in there. But can I tell you this? It goes beyond just worship, right? It goes beyond more than a celebration, because I've been in churches where, you know what, we had a lot of celebration. We had a lot of life on the appearance, but there was no life going outside of the building. See, we can appear to have life, but that life has to have a flow. It just can't stay within the walls. It has to flow out of the church, out of its members, out of its people, into the community. Our church must be spiritually healthy in order to do this. We are the body of Christ. We have to facilitate life to our community. See, there are so many churches, they'll facilitate death. They'll facilitate a lot of religion. They'll facilitate a lot of different things, but we are called to facilitate life. 1 Timothy 4:1, are you there? "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith." We'll read that again. Now, the Spirit says, expressly says, that in the latter times, we're living in the last times, by the way, that began when Jesus ascended into heaven, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Just focus on that, what I highlighted there. Some will depart from the faith. Paul is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We believe the Word of God is inspired. We believe the Word of God is inerrant. So Paul is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking of the last times. We live in the last times, and he says, some will depart from the faith. So what is that an indication of? It's an indication the Holy Spirit has made an honest assessment that in the last times, some will depart from the faith. I don't know about you, that is not a sign of spiritual health. Spiritually healthy people do not depart from the faith. Spiritually healthy people are connected. They're connected to life. They're connected to receiving. If you are spiritually unhealthy, you can depart from the faith. So spiritually healthy people do not depart from the faith. Spiritually healthy people are deeply connected to the presence and person of God. And they receive life constantly, and they're constantly giving life. See, that's what we're called to be, church. But on the other hand, spiritually unhealthy people can harden and be jaded, and they become religious. Can I tell you, religion is one of our number one battles, especially living in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, right? It can be one of our greatest enemies could be religion, because every person in here, we can all get religious. Every one of us are susceptible to religion. And there's a difference between religion that James talked about, pure religion, ministry to the orphans. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about this, having an appearance of godliness and denying the power thereof. That's religion. So that's talking about God, but that's not experiencing God. Amen? That's talking about life, but not having life, receiving life, giving life. Are you following me? That's continually putting the mask on, going to church, acting like everything's okay. But listen, our heart is not touched. I don't know about you. I want to be touched. Amen? I want to be changed. I want to be challenged. I know this, that this version of Jay is better than the last one, but it needs to get better. Not because I have to, but because I want to. Why? I want to be more like Jesus. Amen? That should be our desire. Every one of us, we should want to be more like Jesus. Church, we can't allow religion to become a substitute for life. And what happens is when we do that, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith. Look what John says, or Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So spiritually healthy people bear spiritual fruit. Spiritually healthy people bear spiritual fruit. So we'll have evidence. That's evidence that the Holy Spirit has come into our life. We are yielding to him. He's given us life. We're receiving life, and we're giving life. That's what a healthy tree, that's what a healthy branch does, right? It receives life from the root. It receives all the nutrients from the ground up through that trunk, up through its branches, out to its leaves, out to where it's producing fruit. That's the visual. That's the picture. And when we are healthy, we are giving life. That tree that is planted, that's fruitful, it's giving life, is it not? An apple tree is giving life. It's reproducing other apples. It's giving nourishment to animals, to people, whoever's eating that fruit. It's giving life. That's the picture of who we are called to be as believers. We're called to receive and give life. Spiritual health. If we allow our spiritual health to go downward, if we allow it to decline, it can be detrimental to our spiritual health. So that's why we need to have maintenance. And maintenance, listen, maintenance can be offered through the preaching of the word, but can I tell you what? The greatest maintenance we'll receive, the greatest assessment we'll receive is not people, it's the Holy Spirit, amen? It's the Holy Spirit. So an honest assessment comes through the Holy Spirit. We need to hear from the Holy Spirit. Certain part of your body, if it no longer receives life, it becomes dangerous, doesn't it? When it stops receiving life, it can be detrimental to the body if not taken care of. And it's the same way in us. Listen, we have to receive life. There's a greater picture of us here. We're here, yes, we're individuals. We worship Jesus, but collectively, we are the body of Christ. Every one of you, every one of us, we need to receive life and give life. The church that is healthy and receiving life from the Spirit will be actively reaching lost people. A church that is healthy, full of life, will actively reach lost people in this community. It'll be effective at reaching lost people. It'll be effective at discipling people. You know, I said this in a meeting not too long ago. You know, not every church that is growing is healthy. But I can tell you this, a healthy church will be a growing church. Our goal is not always, shouldn't be always numbers. It should be health. We should be spiritually healthy. Every one of us should take that upon ourselves. I want to be spiritually healthy, because if you're spiritually healthy, she's spiritually healthy, we're spiritually healthy, we're going to grow. Growth will take place. It's an automatic thing. It will fruit, amen? Fruit, spiritual fruit is evidence. It's proof of God's work and his spirit in us. And I'm telling you this, when there's fruit, there's growth. If you want to know that what your spiritual health is, or what it should be, let's look what Jesus wants for us. When we're looking at spiritual health, what does Jesus want for us in that area? John 10:10 says this, I have come that they may have life, and they may have it, what? More abundantly. Jesus come to give us life, and life more abundantly. Jesus wants us to receive life, his life, spiritual life, abundant life, so that we can facilitate his life. You may be spiritually unhealthy right now, but listen, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. There's still a promise of life. You could have messed up. You could have done a lot of things. But can I tell you this, that just get reconnected. He can graft you back into the vine, amen? Just don't give up. The only time that you stop receiving life truly is when you just give up. Don't surrender. If you mess up, get up, brush yourself off, turn back to God, receive from him. Jesus said this in John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. He promises life. Listen, you can be at death's door spiritually. He promises you life. You can be in a very dark place spiritually. He promises to give you life. You could have messed up. The world's messing with you. You can feel condemned. Can I tell you, he's promised to give you life. Don't give up on that. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Don't listen to the lies of the flesh. He wants to give you life. Receive from him. Listen, if Jesus can resurrect our mortal bodies, and he will, there will be a resurrection, he can give life to our spiritual bodies. What kind of life? Spiritual life. Life abundantly. If you're depressed, sick, downcast, stuck, have you ever been stuck in a spiritual rut? Been there before. Jesus wants to give you life. You need to hear that today. I think sometimes we get stuck in places. You need to hear that. Jesus wants to give you life, and life abundantly. All right, let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at verse 6. We're going to move down to verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Verse 7, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise, look at that, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that is now, now is, and of that which is to come. So Paul, in no way, is downplaying the role of physical health. Our physical health is important. So what he's going to do is he's going to use this as an analogy. Physical health. We should take care of this temple, right? I mean, that's what 1 Corinthians tells us. Paul writes to the Corinthians. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, of whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So physical life is important. Taking care of this temple is very important. Treating our temple with care, being good stewards of the life. You know, God's given you life for a purpose. Take care of it, amen? Take care. Be a good steward of the body God gave you. It's important. It has a purpose. It has a reason. It needs to last so it can complete its mission. I think sometimes we treat our temples poorly, and they kind of give out before they were supposed to. Take care of your temple. Wouldn't it be a shame to be in perfect physical health but be in poor spiritual health? See, that's not God's desire. I love it when people are fit. I love to watch people run because I don't like to run. I'll walk. I like to walk. But people run, they're just crazy. I think I'm running when something's chasing me or when I go to the bathroom. But I'm not running anywhere else. I ran once and I didn't like it. So I'm just saying this. I admire those people. That's the way they approach physical health. But wouldn't it be a shame for someone to be physically fit and not to be spiritually fit? So if we can show our bodies the care and attention they need to ensure health, why can't we do the same for our spirit? why should we neglect our spiritual well-being? Well, we shouldn't. I mean, it's the most important component of our being is our spirit. So how do we care for our physical bodies? All right, here we go. This is real deep. Are you ready? Diet and exercise. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, like not eating for days. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about making good choices, right? Making good decisions. You know, I went all week and I made good decisions until yesterday. And I decided to have a little ice cream. And then I decided to have a whole bag of popcorn. You know, and it was late. That's not smart, is it? Because I'm getting older. And you know, it used to be my metabolism was this way. I can eat anything. Jenny would touch me. She goes, "You're hot." I said, "I'm burning calories." You know, it was true. I was just burning calories all the time. I couldn't put weight on if I bought it. I mean, it wouldn't stick on me. But now it sticks on you. You know what I'm saying? And it just hangs there. That's not cool, right? I mean, it's bad when you go to put a shirt on and you're like, "Ooh, wow, that must have shrunk." Physical fitness, being healthy, really, it begins with what we eat. It really does. The word exercise Paul uses, exercise ourselves unto godliness, that word is like gymnastic exercise. In fact, the Greek word is like the root for where we get the word gymnasium. Gymnastic exercise, such as physical training for an event or for games. It's really the exercise of, so to speak. It's like spiritual discipline is what's mostly talking about, what Paul is using here in the context. He's using that word, but he kind of uses the same words in 1 Corinthians 9:27 to kind of put it into context. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So he's talking about exercising control, exercise as a practice. Are you following me? So I'm going to go back to physical health. I'm going to go back and forth. Listen, I am not a physical health person, all right? I'm trying to get better. I really am. But I'm not silly either. I know that you have to eat better. You can't just exercise and that's it. At a certain point of your life, if you're at my age or even maybe a little bit younger, you have to balance both. You just have to. I don't like it. I think it stinks. I want to eat all the junk. I'll just go run it off. But I don't run. Well, I'll walk it off. I can't walk that much. You know, I'll still be walking. But if we want to live a healthier life, we have to make better choices, right? We have to have better judgment. Before we put that food in our mouth, boy, it looks good, but you know where it's going to go? It's going to go right to your rear end. So if we want to live a healthier life, we have to make time for exercise. Yeah, the E word, right? That's like a four-letter word, but it's more than four letters. I'm just saying, I don't like exercise. I'm just being honest with you. But Paul says bodily exercise profits a little. So you said, well, there you go. Why do we exercise? It does have a profit. Do you understand what? It just says profits little. And in comparison to spiritual life, see, spiritual life is more important. I love it when people want to live a healthy life. There's nothing wrong with that. But is there a balance? Is there a focus on your spiritual life as well? The word translated into English, there's two words we use. The exercise is translated twice, but they're really two different words. When you look at the Greek, they're different words. For bodily exercise profits a little. This is what's really cool about this word. Let me just show you something here. It means to vigorously have movement. So it's like, Was it Olivia Newton-John? Physical, right? That's back in the 80s. The aerobics. My mom did aerobics. She had the leg warmer. She had it all, right? You know what I'm saying? And so that kind of started the aerobic phase. But and when we say aerobics, we think of that. But really, that involves where you're just taking in more oxygen, right? It's a cardiovascular thing, which we need more aerobic activity. I need more aerobic activity. You know, just watching baseball or basketball doesn't get my heart rate up anymore. Paul writes this. He's using this analogy. He's painting the picture. Paul writes his letter to Timothy, and this is a pastoral letter. So Paul writing this, using this word, Timothy would immediately identify that word. And here's why. Ephesus is a... Its culture back then was Greek. It was a Greek culture. A Greek culture dominated. Even the Roman Empire was dominated by Greek culture. If you visit Ephesus today, you can go to these ruins, and they're called the theater of the gymnasium, basically, is what it is. And it's where people had hot and cold bath facilities. They had a hall of ceremonies. They had a sports room. It was a headquarters. Listen to this. Headquarters for the youth organization. Do you know that youth sports millenniums ago? Isn't that crazy? Some poor guy was pulling his kids to the practice, you know, field, all the way back 2,000 years ago. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing how things change but always stay the same. So this building had a palestra, and what it was a place of exercise. It was a courtyard, and that's where they would do a lot of their exercises. They would have this rectangular courtyard. They would have adjoining rooms. This is all in the ruins. It's pretty cool. And there would be rooms there for a variety of functions. You might have a changing room, a bathing room, seating, a socializing, storage for athletic equipment. It was a gym. That's all it was. It was a gym. They had gym rats back then. Isn't that amazing? So why would this be such a big thing? Well, the Greeks were concerned about health. And then when you had the Roman kind of empire expand, they adopted Greek culture. They love spectator sports, right? The Romans love spectator sports. Listen, Saturday football started with the Romans. It was just a different sport. I mean, they were all about spectator sports. So people, you would see athletes performing. Guess what happens? I don't know what you have. When I hear like the Rocky music or something like that, I need to do something better with my life. You know, inspiration, right? Inspiration. So I'm sure there's people sitting out in the stands who are like, I need to get in shape. Look at that guy. Look at her. Look at him. You know, I need to get in shape. So guess what you would do? You'd go to the gym where those folks worked out. It's no different. I think we think, oh, this is like a new craze. It's not. It's been around for millenniums. So Paul is telling Timothy this type of physical exercise is beneficial. It brings health to your physical temple. But we need to more importantly focus on our spiritual temple, our spiritual life, our spiritual well-being. And today there is a change taking place in the medical field. We used to say holistic, and everyone would say, oh, that's weird Eastern stuff, right? That's the kind of the image we get. But the holistic approach is body, soul, spirit, right? That's the approach. Do you know that when pastors, when they go into burnout, the first thing when they go to a counselor or to their doctor or a pastoral leader, they'll say, are you exercising? You need regular physical involvement. You need to get active, because you're going to spend larger amounts of time where you may not be as active as someone else. But can I tell you, we all need better activity as the older as we get. So we are a three-part being, correct? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a three-part being, body, soul, spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to be involved in all three of those. He wants to work continuously among us. We are body, soul, spirit, one being, three parts, all three parts important, or God wouldn't give you three parts. All three of them are important. They relate to each other. Give you an example. A person who becomes physically ill can be attacked spiritually. Or a person that is dealing with a mental or emotional illness can attack their spiritual well-being. It happens all the time. A person struggles with depression, it affects their spirituality. See, God wants us healed. He wants us whole. I believe that with all my... Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Person struggles in those areas. He wants us healthy. He wants us strong. Are we spiritually healthy? Are we spiritually healthy? May the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, completely, body, soul, and spirit. So, the word of God has been on point on this for centuries now. Doctors are just now catching up. The word of God was clear. We are body, soul, spirit. There's more than one part to man to care for. And all three of those parts need to be healthy. I would argue that if we are truly healthy spiritually, that usually has a bleed over effect into every area of our lives. The spirit is it's the head of man. See, it's born again. Your body will die. We can try our best to preserve it, but it's going to die. It's got an expiration date on it. We can live the healthiest life possible, but we're still going to die unless Jesus comes before. All right, same way with every part of our being. But listen, our spirit is born again. It's eternal. It should be the seat. It should be the head. And I'm just saying this. If you've got the spiritual part done and you've got it right, more likely everything else will fall into place. Understand there are age factors. When I'm talking about health, I understand some of us are not as young as others. But can I tell you this? Whatever age bracket in, we should be as healthy as possible, spiritually as well. We should be mature. See, if we're spiritually healthy, collectively as a church, think about this. Think about the benefits it provides for our community. If we're all spiritually healthy, if we're all spiritually mature where we should be, if we're all spiritually producing fruit as we should, what is the effect outside of those doors? I'll tell you, the effect is exponential, amen? When we, you and I, when we're spiritually healthy, we produce spiritual fruit because things that are healthy grow. And if our church is growing, our church is healthy, our church will grow. See, fruit is an indication of health. And in our community needs health, church. Our community is dying without Jesus. It needs health. It needs life. We need to facilitate that. I just challenge you that it just goes beyond you. It goes into our community. So what are some things we can do to increase our spiritual health? What are some things we can do to increase our spiritual health? Using the same analogy that Paul's given us of spiritual health and physical health, kind of combining the two and showing us the importance of spiritual health, let's kind of stay along these same lines. So if we want physical health, we participate in some type of physical activity. If you want to get physically fit, watching people exercise on TV won't work. It won't be by osmosis, will it? I'm with you. I wish it would, but it just doesn't work. Some of us I won't even tell you all are fine. I need to get physically fit. Some of us need to run to Gold's Gym, right? But more of us need to run to God's gym. All right, that's where we need to run to. And there is no secret behind physical fitness, is there? I mean, don't you wish there was a pill you could just take and make you instantly healthy? But that's not the way it works. How does it work? Eat better, exercise. Those are words from the devil, aren't they? I'll give you an example. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to eat 2 cheeseburgers. I'm going to eat a large fry and have a Diet Coke. It doesn't work that way. See, if you want to eat healthy, you don't eat you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, I don't want to get that. Well, that's the way it works. There's a lot of fat. I'm not saying you can't eat cheeseburger. I'm just saying if you really want to watch what you're doing, then don't have the double cheeseburgers. I'm just saying. All right? So if this is now think about this. If this is the same way I approach spiritual health, maybe we're missing something. Well, how about this? I can go eat on the world, but I'll have a Diet Coke spiritually. So if we're taking spiritual cheeseburgers, we think we're going to have the Diet Coke, we're going to get a little bit of the word in, it all negates itself, it all bounces out. We are in big trouble. And that's probably why we're not as spiritually healthy as we ought to be. See, can I tell you this too? And I know this from a personal standpoint. If I want to lose weight consistently, then I have to eat right and I have to exercise regularly. That's the way my metabolism is now, and that's what has to take place. And it's the same way spiritually. If we really want to grow spiritually, it takes some discipline, doesn't it? It takes this, not eating some of the junk of the world that we're used to eating. Sometimes it means this, that we've taken more in of God's word, more of his presence, more of him, more of spiritual life, and less of this world. See, a healthy diet is more than vitamins and drinking protein shakes, right? A healthy diet is about this, portion control, right? Oh, you know, once I started to eat better. I really did begin this year. My weight kind of went like this, but I really have continued to keep off the weight that I had this year at the beginning of the year. And I noticed this when I was following something, and I wasn't following like some major plan. It was just something simple. I realized that my portions are way out of whack, that my eyes and my stomach, you know, they're on the same path right now. And what I started doing was paying attention to how much I'm putting into my mouth. Do you know your stomach is like elastic, right? That sucker will keep on stretching. It'll grow. It's amazing. Portion control, exercise, cutting your carbs, whatever, eating leaner meats, fruits and vegetables. Ugh. You know, Jenny will give me something. She goes, do you like it? I said, I don't have to like it. I just have to eat it. That's all. I don't like it. And I wish I could put some cheese on this broccoli because it tastes a whole lot better. So you think about this. If you combine this, again, I'm working to a spiritual picture. This is not a diet message, trust me. If you approach it this way, if you're going to eat better and you're going to exercise, even if you just walk a half hour, they say, walk a half hour and you'll make steady progress. Now think about this. If we'll apply these simple standards to our spiritual life, how we can grow and mature. Think about it. What if we didn't watch TV as much? What if we cut out certain shows that we watch? What if we replace some of the secular music that we listen to with some praise and worship? What if we consumed the Word of God with more consistency? What if we dined less on the world? What if we prayed a little bit more? What if we spent time fellowshipping with other Christians? What if we went to church consistently? Can I tell you this? You go to the dinner table consistently. All right, I'll keep on going then. I thought I was going to get an amen there from everybody. What if we served in an area of ministry? What if we gave? What if we exercised godliness over ungodly behavior? What if we avoided the appearance of wrongdoing? Simple things, simple changes, changes in our spiritual diet, changes in our social diet, changes in our emotional diet. What if we change that? Listen, I don't have time. Here's the excuses. Why I don't exercise? Why I don't have time? Well, it's too expensive, or I'm too tired, or I don't have a place to exercise. Now, that list of excuses can go on and on and on. But here's what I want you to think about. What if we went to the doctor, we sensed something was wrong physically, we go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you got 6 months to live unless you get your rear end off that couch and start eating right and exercising. You know what? We would find time, money, and energy then. Can I tell you this, that our spiritual health, if neglected, is detrimental, eternally detrimental. See, if we would take that same commitment towards our physical life, we truly, really made it a part of our spiritual life, I think we'd be much healthier spiritually. Paul says, bodily exercise profits a little. Your spiritual life is more important. Why aren't we more concerned about our spiritual life? If we choose to live our lives from this perspective, our spiritual life is more important, and we act accordingly, it will radically change our life. Radically change our life. Our bodies are temporal. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow, but our spirits are forever. They're eternal. So imagine the things we do have an effect on our eternal life. Look at this. I want to give you kind of we need a spiritual wake-up call. You ever had a health wake-up call? Hey, if you don't cut this out, you're going to be dead in so many years. We need a spiritual wake-up call. Just a couple perspectives, some interesting perspectives from God's Word. Check this out, how the physical and the spiritual relate to each other. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Okay, here's a different translation, same verse. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but jealousy is like cancer in the bones. All right, Proverbs 3:7-8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. There's a correlation between the physical and the spiritual. The spiritual nature and the physical nature have a lot in common with each other. Complete health begins at the spiritual level. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. There's a direct correlation between the two. And what Paul is doing for Timothy is saying, listen, you live in a culture that has exercise that's involved. You have gymnasiums that are there. They're involved in activity. But what you really need to stress is spiritual activity. As they are involved in physical activity, they need to be involved in spiritual activity. So that's the picture he's trying to paint for Timothy and Sharon. Timothy would get it. He would get the visual that Paul is trying to paint for him. Listen, I wish we were committed to the body of Christ as we are to our doctor appointments. I do. I wish we were as committed to serving, to giving, to praying, and so on. We are more concerned about physical health. But I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, you're all going to die. Every one of you is going to be dead. You can't stop it. It's going to happen. Every one of us have an expiration date. Let's deal with it. We could be here today, and literally, we could be gone tomorrow. How many of you seen athletes in great shape, playing a game, playing a sport, and keel over dead, athletic heart or whatever the issue is, have the appearance, it goes undiagnosed, 20, 30 years old, and die? Church, I'm just telling you this, that we need to be smart. We need to be wise about how we treat our spiritual health. Jesus came to give us health, to give us life on all levels, but the most important is our spiritual health. Are we emotionally healthy? I hope so, because it has, again, a direct effect on us spiritually. Laughter is a good medicine, isn't it? Laughter is an outward expression of joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Some of you haven't laughed from your spirit, from your soul, for a long time. I mean, there's cobwebs in your lungs. That's a bad sign. That's a bad sign of emotional and spiritual health. When's the last time you just belly rolled? You know what I'm saying? Just gushed out of you. I love kids when they're small and you tickle them or you play, that chuckle they have, right? When's the last time you had that chuckle? Can I tell you this? If that's been robbed from you, there's something wrong. And can I tell you, start at the head. Start at the spiritual level. Joy, a lack of joy can be detrimental. It can be detrimental to your spiritual health. Some of you need to smile a little bit more. You know, oh, that hurt. Oh, well, because you haven't used those muscles for a long time. Exercise them. Our spiritual health will directly affect our mental and our emotional health. If our spiritual health is not healthy, it will directly, listen to this, if you're not spiritually healthy, it will affect your relationships. Did you know that? Obviously, it will affect your relationship with God. It will affect your relationship with your spouse, with your family, with coworkers. I mean, the list goes on and on. People you just come into contact with. I hate people. World would be good if it didn't have people. Well, you is one, though. Preachers say it. Church would be great if it wasn't for the people. If we were healthy, we would have the eyes that Jesus had, who had compassion. Had compassion. When we see people as a detriment, we see people as a problem, we've got a problem. The problem ain't them, it's you. I'm preaching to myself right now, by the way. The more I find problems with people, hey, listen, people are fallen. They're fallen. And I'm just saying this, if we're not healthy, we'll look at those people and say, forget them. They made that choice. So which of your sins is not forgivable then? So are we going to go down that rabbit trail? The only one I see in Scripture is the denial of the Holy Spirit. All right, and what that really comes down to is this, when the Holy Spirit's convicting you, when the Holy Spirit is moving upon your life and you resist the Holy Spirit. That's the unpardonable sin. So if our spiritual health is not healthy, it will directly affect our attitude. We'll become negative, cynical, and critical. If our spiritual health is not healthy, it'll affect our faith. It'll affect our faith. We won't believe God for what we should believe God for. If our spiritual health is not healthy, it'll affect how we spend money. You know, sometimes people get depressed and they spend money. Sometimes they're looking for joy and stuff. See, it says this, there's a bigger issue. There's a spiritual health problem. How we steward our things, that will all come into conflict when we're not spiritually healthy. Our spiritual health will impact our careers. Man, that's a job. That's a ball and chain. But that's a mission field. There are lost people there. Listen, you don't have to like for the job. You can transfer. You can find another job. But while you're there, do it for the glory of God, amen? Do it for the glory of God. There are lost people there that need Jesus. You might be the only Jesus they see. You're going to be the only light in darkness there is. See, I'm just telling you this. When we are spiritually unhealthy, we miss these things. You know what we do? We just become like everyone else and we go to church, and that's called religion. See, if we were as committed to our spiritual health as we ought to be, I believe personally here at this church, we'd be more effective in our community. And I'm not pointing any fingers. That's first one is right here at me because I have to be spiritually healthy. I understand that. But I just want us to take that serious. The Holy Spirit determines our spiritual health. Listen to his counsel. Participate in his following. Follow his lead. Be led by the Spirit. I'm asking everyone here just to do this simply this morning. Humble yourself before the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit, examine my heart, examine my life. And when I walk out these doors, if there's a situation, test me, try me, speak to me. Lord, if I encounter a person that I don't like, I want to hear from you. Now, you may have good reason why. Maybe they cussed out your dog. I don't know. But can I tell you this? You still have to love them. They need Jesus. They won't cuss out your dog anymore then. Pray over your dog. We need to exercise our faith more. Exercise in prayer. Exercise better judgment. What we see, what we hear, what we watch, you know, that's anxiety, depression, apathy, motivation, various mental and emotional, physical conditions, all linked to spiritual health, all of them. Will you make a commitment to be spiritually healthy? Will you make a commitment to be spiritually healthy? Why choose sickness over health? I'll tell you what we do. We choose sickness over health spiritually. And I'm going to give you the reason why. Are you ready? It's pride. Pride, listen, this verse here, Luke 4:23, Jesus said, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Doctor, heal yourself. That's pride. There's pride that's involved sometimes. Sometimes we stay in a condition because of pride. Pride will keep us hindered. Pride will keep us unhealthy. Pride, an unwillingness to humble ourselves. You know what? These may be pieces of furniture here. But can I tell you, these are places where we humble ourselves. You know, there's some of you, I've been here for 6 years, I've never seen you once come to the altar. I don't understand that. I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm just saying, man, it is good practice to humble. It's a good exercise. It's not a show. You don't have to come down and say, I'm coming to humble myself. Man, just come before the Lord and humble yourself. It doesn't have to be a show. No one's asking you to do that. I'm just saying, hey, will you spend some? You don't even have to kneel here. You can stand. You can find a place in the front. Just make every, man, I know it's just a move, but sometimes that physical movement has a spiritual component that where you've said in my heart, I'm going to get closer to God. If you know that you're spiritually unhealthy, then why are you staying there? Why would you stay in a place of unhealth or unhealthiness when Jesus promises to give you life? Why would you stand there poor when he would have you rich? I'm closing with this verse, James 4:6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I need more grace, don't you? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I need more of his grace. And we all need more of his grace. We all need to be spiritually stronger, more effective for the kingdom of God. And the first step is humbling ourselves.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.